Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio. And in just a moment, we're going to have Brother Travis Bryan on the line. And we're speaking today about the process and the pearl, the fascinating way in which pearls in God's creation come about, and how this is a direct illustration of the cross in our daily lives. Here's Brother Travis right here. Let's see if I could get him on the line. And this is just going to be a fascinating study. Brother Travis writes here, to hold within our hearts those
Brother
things
Todd.
That... Yes, sir, there he is. Brother Travis, how are you? Good morning.
I'm good. How are you, brother?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Was just began and was talking about the initial part of a piece you wrote recently on the process and the pearl, the world as our oyster, hold on to what irritates you. Now, man, that's counterintuitive, isn't it? Hold on to what irritates you.
It really is. But Todd,
but does the process
the Lord
that takes
has,
place?
Yeah, the
oh,
Lord
ahead,
has put in nature. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Beautiful. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. We can hear you.
He's put into nature this little example, and of course the pearl is a symbol of Christ and his new creation developing in the midst of this old creation. And when the pearl has this grain, this irritant, that gets into the soft tissue through a natural process, the oyster first seals off the pearl and then begins to secrete into that area, and this pearl is formed there. This beautiful pearl is formed as a result of this irritant that's been retained in the soft tissue of the oyster. And that's a great picture of how our new man grows within us, the inward man, where Christ is the head and we are his body. And when we walk out into the world and things irritate us, things come against us, we receive afflictions, these are the irritants that cause the growth. They are catalysts in the growth. Paul called it a thorn in his flesh, but these are the things that cause us to grow, Todd, as,
as that's a good one.
New creation people.
Well, yeah, what comes to mind is a scripture that says, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And when you threw that Paul's thorn in the flesh in there, that just came alive. Wow, that's amazing. Now, again,
read 17
you,
on that, Todd. 17.
Yeah.
4:17.
Yes,
2 Corinthians 4:17. Read that
yeah.
one.
Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse, I'll start back at 16 and then 17 and 18. How's that?
Yeah,
for which
17
cause,
is the key, though.
Yes, sir. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, we're all getting a little older, aren't we? Yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brother Travis.
Yeah, 17, it really sets it out there. You could read that in terms of our symbolism here this morning. For our light grain of affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of pearl glory, Todd. And that's It's just amazing that the afflictions are what are producing this weight of glory, this inward man within us. Without the afflictions, we cannot grow, Todd.
Yes, that's amazing. You know, let's talk about that nature-wise real quick, because some people don't realize that, or it's been a while since they've, you know, talked about this process. What happens in a pearl, to create a pearl, brother, a grain of sand, you said, or something gets inside that shell, right?
And correct, into the soft tissues and begins to irritate that oyster. And then there's a sealing off process first, then there's a secretion. And there's even a name for that secretion, but I don't remember it. And this secretion into that area is what produces the pearl, Todd. And this happens so often, it's almost like it was planned, this irritant that gets in there and the pearl is produced. And, of course, I think it's off the coast of Spain that where the best oyster field is in the world, over there somewhere near there. And those are the wild pearls are the best, and that's where they're produced. But they have domesticated this process where they cause it to happen. Of course, those pearls are not as valuable as the wild pearls, but they grow these on a farm, now. But it's God almost planning this to show us in nature the truth of the Bible, Todd.
That is just a fascinating observance of the creation of God and how Scripture tells us that the Lord brings about spiritual maturity in our lives. Now, you spoke here about how we should hold on to these things that irritate it. But before I go any further and forget, is there any significance in the hardness of the shell and the sand getting past it?
Well, I can't say any, but I'm not willing to say there's not. I mean, there's always significance in every part of these things. And if you can see something, I could surely go along with that.
Well, yeah, it seems like, of course, the shell's there to protect the oyster. And sometimes we try to protect ourselves from
things that irritate. Exactly. That's a good one, Todd.
Yeah, situations that happen to us. And God's working in them, as he was with Paul's thorn in the flesh, whom the Lord allowed Satan to actually bring to him. And it's definitely not something we would invite into our lives. And yet,
no,
God allows it, huh, to bring about.
I think you've hit on something, Todd. You know, there's the saying, this gets under somebody's skin. Well, we need for things to get under our skin. That's that hard shell that we use to protect ourselves. I think you've hit on a real good truth there, Todd.
Yeah, and it's, you know, scientists are simply those who observe what the Creator has done, and that's all we're doing
exactly.
Right here. Observing from the Word of God what we see in his nature and how it relates. It's amazing. Now, you also speak about don't lash back or pass them on to someone else, those irritants. Don't retaliate against it. Marinate in it. Hold the working of the cross within your heart as you die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Again, hold the working of the cross within your heart as you die daily. And then you went on to say, we need this creative tension of opposites working simultaneously within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Peace meets the reality of this fallen world. There will inevitably be irritation and pain. Don't try to run from it, numb it, avoid it, or block it out. Hold it close in faith. Hold it within your peace. God will then transform your life. Both it, you, and others around you will be blessed with resurrection life, spiritual growth, blessings, insight, joy, and understanding. And brother, you know, anybody who's learning to deny themselves, take up the cross, and follow Jesus can attest to that. The glory of the Savior really wells up in us, Brother Travis, doesn't it, when we get up in the morning and say, Lord, take over. I want you totally running my life today. Into your hands I commend my spirit. I lay my life in your hands. You must increase. I must decrease. And when we hand things over to him, saying and declaring with Paul that we are crucified with Christ, things start to happen, Brother Travis, don't they?
Yeah, they do, brother. And, you know, our flesh, as soon as it's met with an irritant or affliction, wants to try to escape it or numb it or avoid it. And of course, the way to transformation is to just hold it, just marinate in it, just let it run its course. Don't react to it. Don't lash out. There's an old saying, and I forget who said it, but when pain comes to us, we have two choices. We can either transform it or we can transmit it. That means we can lash back at whoever did it to us, or we can pass it on to our wife when we get home at the end of the day, or we can just hold it, Todd, right there within our peace. We can just hold this affliction, whatever it may be, until God uses it, and he will. And the way to get rid of suffering is to hold it and not try to escape it, Todd. And you see this truth all over the Bible. You know, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. When you absorb those blows rather than retaliating against them, there is a grain of affliction that will produce in you a pearl if you'll just absorb the offenses that happen to you in life and hold them there. Another one is in Matthew 13, this leaven, which throughout the Bible is treated as an evil doctrine or sin itself. When somebody sins against you, that is leaven in the meal that the woman put in there, and that produces this full loaf. So we need this leaven, this opposition, in order to produce a full loaf. And then you have the tares. Jesus in his parable said we don't uproot the tares, we leave them there, because to uproot the tares would be to uproot the wheat. And the tares are opposition that we need in our midst in order to grow, Todd. So I believe you see this truth all over the Bible, and it's just coming back to the cross every time, that we need affliction, we need the cross, we need opposition, Todd, in order to grow.
Amen. Kind of like a muscle has to be opposed, or a weight has
exactly
to be put on it and breaking down in order to build up. Anyone who's been in the gym, and most people have, and they understand this principle that we see throughout Scripture and throughout nature, this tension of opposites, as you call it, Brother Travis. This is what you wrote this. You said, this is what it means to embrace the cross, embrace as transformative those moments where people cause you to suffer, and when circumstances annoy you, won't let you have your way, or remove you from your comfort zone. That's right there where we're tested, Brother Travis, isn't it? I remember several incidences in my own life. I remember you had a little incident in the gym and on the golf course. And these things come unannounced in life, Brother Travis, don't they? And we've got to be ready. And so this embracing of the cross, saints, is not a grabbing of a piece of wood and trying to, or wearing something around your neck you hold on to like a good luck charm or anything, but surrendering our lives to the Lord. And there's so many scriptures we can pray every day from our hearts declaring that we are dead and our lives are hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3, verse 3. And that's what the philosophy, if you will, the principle of the cross is, Brother Travis, correct?
It is, Todd. And I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 4, if you would, verses 8, 9, and 10. And here you see, probably as well as anywhere in the Bible, this tension between opposites that causes growth and causes the life of Christ to be manifested through a person. if you would read those, and would the listener notice the opposition that is between the opposites here that we see in these verses?
Excellent. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10. For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen.
Amen. And then you have Paul with the thorn, and he prayed three times, as we naturally do. We pray for the removal of these things when we need these things. So you have to reorient your mind to the cross and come around to the fact that these very irritants are what are causing, in an indirect way, not intentionally, the devil is always behind them, but they are what's precipitating the growth of the new man within us, Todd. We don't grow that new man by human effort. It's grown through the cross, through the experience of affliction, brokenness, opposition. That is how, and our response to it, that's how it happens. Our response has to be in faith, Todd. So we can either transform our pain. Actually, God is the transformer, but I say that we can allow it to be transformed, or we can transmit it to someone else and throw it off on somebody else, which is the wrong way to respond, Todd.
Yes, sir. Now, do you think that when we begin to awaken to this truth in our minds, in our understanding, and I think listening to you can help people a lot. And that's why we have a whole category on safeguardyoursoul.com with Brother Travis Bryan's writings. They're all about the cross. Find the categories place on the any page of safeguardyoursoul.com and go to Travis, just put in T or Travis Bryan the third, and you'll get dozens upon dozens of amazing, short, but powerful messages on the cross. And brother, as we commune with this information, as it happened to me, and as I'm seeing people become infected with this, I believe it helps us to begin to understand and to, if you will, field, F-I-E-L-D, the things that come our way in life, and not try to, first of all, not think them strange. I mean, Peter said, think it not strange concerning these trials and these temptations and these things that you suffer, right? And
exactly.
So would you say this, because otherwise in our human mind, we're like, oh, God, why is all this happening to me? Well, all of these things are working together for the good. He didn't say they're all good, but he said they're all working together for the good to those that love mm-hmm. God and are the called according to his purposes. And they're doing what? The next verse tells us that they're conforming us to the image of Christ. And that's the call of God on each of our lives, to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's Romans 8, 28 and 29. Now, Brother Travis, you wrote this also. This is the cross coming to you, these afflictions and things. This is how he uses opposition to mold you into the image of his son. We are made to conform. We are made to conform, be conformed to his death, and that we may know him, Philippians 3:10. And then you point out where Paul writes, I always bear about in my body the dying process, if you will, the cross of mm-hmm. the Lord Jesus. And that's what the cross is, Brother Travis, correct? It's just the dying process of giving God supreme reign and control in our lives, right?
Absolutely. The dying of the self, the ego within us, Todd, this dying of this old man. And the good qualities of the old man have to die, as well as the evil qualities. The entire old man has got to be done away within you, this old nature of sin. And the way this happens is through the cross. It does not happen through human effort. Let me give you a little short story about how much time we got left, Tom.
We've got about 10 minutes, yes, sir.
All right. This happened just the other day. I pull into a McDonald's to get me a cup of coffee, which I really was thirsty for. And I get in the, you know, they have two lines now. And I got in the outside line, and there was no line. I went directly to the speaker, and I sat there for a while, and there was no one coming on the speaker. And I noticed the cars in the other line were going on through one after the other. And I guess six or eight cars had gone through and nothing had been done with me. And I realized that either the speaker was out of order or I was being ignored, one of the two. So I didn't have much time, but I wanted that coffee so bad that I drove around the McDonald's and got in the other line, and I was mad by this time because I saw another car go through that line that I had been in.
Oh.
And so I prepared this hate speech ready to lower the boom on some employee of McDonald's about how they were negligent and ignored me back there at that speaker. But Todd, through the grace of God, I had just a couple of more minutes to wait to get to the window. And by that time, the Lord had reminded me of these truths and that these afflictions happen to us for a good purpose. And God is working all things together for good. And so when we got there, we were very pleasant to each other, and it was wonderful. And I drove away happy, edified by the whole process, instead of depressed by my reaction and anger. And just a little example, Todd, but that's the way it works in little things of life. Every day the gospel comes into our speech and our thoughts and our conduct, and we act like different people than we used to be. The old man wanted to lash out, Todd, wanted to transmit that pain back against the perpetrator of it. But when you absorb those blows, God uses that to transform not only you, but people around you.
You know, when you were telling that story, I just bursted out laughing, and I think a lot of people listening would do the same thing, because it's a reality. I mean, how dare someone interrupt my time or make me hesitate? You know, I mean, we are so spoiled and shallow in so many ways. And when, don't you think that when this kind of thing happens, it's little but it's big, we stand back and realize just the futility of the things we count important. I mean, somebody inconveniences us, God forbid, the God of self, you know, we're just going to have to get at them, you know, and how dare them interrupt us. And so it's amazing. So, again, Brother Travis, the principle of the cross, we want to make sure, because we get a lot of listeners, and some of them are brand new to this biblical concept of the cross, where Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, we've got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Just what is that, Brother Travis, if you will, in just plain language, what is the cross in our daily life, brother?
The cross, Todd, is our experience of opposition and affliction and brokenness and suffering, Todd. And it can be small things. Disruption of our comfort zone, interruptions in our day, phone calls we don't want to take, but we, for someone in need, who causes us to have to turn aside from our selfish agenda for that day.
Yeah.
All the many things that afflict us in life are the cross coming to us, and the devil is behind those things many times. When people mistreat us and sin against us, God didn't do that, but he allowed that, and he allowed it to bring something good out of it, which is the same as God allowing his son to be put to death at Calvary in order to bring salvation to the world out of that event. So what you have is the worst event in history became the best event in history. And that's the way the cross works and the resurrection, because when you trust and faith through these times, these experiences of the cross, God brings resurrection into your heart and life and into your circle of friends and into your community. And this is the way that he spreads his gospel, Todd. You mentioned infect a minute ago, and that's a good word, because the gospel is contagious, and this is the point of contagion right here. When you start living this and loving people in a self-sacrificial way, and you don't stand on your rights and retaliate and fight back, this stops people in their tracks, and they want many times what you have, and opens doors of utterance for the gospel, Todd, and this is the way the gospel is spread, through contagion, infection, a healthy infection, and a good contagion, kind of the opposite of disease, and we spread it this way, Todd.
Amen. It's like addiction. Addiction can be good or bad. It depends on what we choose to be addicted to. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:15, I believe it is, that a certain group of Christians became addicted to the work of the ministry. Amen. Now, Brother Travis, in 1 Peter 4:1, the scripture tells us, verse 1 and 2, 1 Peter 4, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Wow, there's a boatload there in 1 Peter 4:1-2, saints. You know, we're to be armed with this same mind, it says here, in our daily life, and it causes us to cease from sin. There's someone listening that is wondering how to overcome sin. When we're armed with the mind of Christ, to prefer Christ and others above ourselves, we become so enthralled with them, with God, if you will, and then others, that alone can take us away from the idle mind that is putty in the hands of Satan, as we see in the life of King David, who should have been at war and wasn't. So his eyes fell upon a woman named Bathsheba, etc. Probably the most popular or famous incident of that in history, Brother Travis, would you say?
I would, Todd. I agree.
And yeah, so that we no longer should live out the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. We've got just the closing minute here, folks, and I want to encourage you to realize, all the saints of Christ, that the Lord has saved us for his beautiful purposes, and it's not for us to live our lives anymore as unto ourselves. In fact, the Bible tells us we're not our own. We're bought price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Also, Paul wrote in, we have it on record in 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says, and that he died for all, Jesus died for all, that they which live should not henceforth, but not from here on out, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again from the dead. And the way we live for Christ today, saints, is to simply say, Lord, you must increase, I must decrease, not my will, but thine be done. Fill me with your spirit and take over my life afresh, God. Reign in my life today, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I believe that's the crux of the cross, is allowing Jesus Christ to reign in our lives, the risen, soon to return Savior of the world. Brother Travis, we've got just a few seconds. Your fellowship down there in Bryan College Station is called Cross Central Church.
And crosscentral.org is our website. Cross Central is one word, Todd.
Amen. Father, we love you. We praise you for this beautiful time of fellowship in the Word of God. We pray that it would pierce our hearts and we'd receive, we'd be blessed to receive with meekness the engrafted Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Todd.